Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for
welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we from time to time get a lot of inquiries about the main piece of protein on your holiday table. Whether that's a prime rib, whether that's a steak, or excuse me, a turkey, or whether that is a ham. Any one of those is something that you can do on a smoker, and we want to talk a little bit about that.
Speaking of hams, welcome back.
Yeah.
You just heard from the ham right there. Mr. Fongers, thanks so much, because who does not love a piece of cake for breakfast?
Right.
Yeah, you're right, Jop. And when I think of Christmas, I think of my bride's Christmas dinner. And she got the recipe from Duba's. And we do this every year, but it's worthy, because their recipe for prime rib was legendary. And I know you ate there years ago.
Yeah.
Especially the old restaurant they had.
Right.
Duba's was a legendary beef house, very high-end, old-style, swanky cocktail lounge restaurant in Grand Rapids. They moved to a big, beautiful new place. And then they changed the freeway and everything, and they got bought out by a hotel. But they went away. I think, like, the owner died or something. Kind of like Safies, you
certainly,
know, was another legendary old-school restaurant before chains were all we had.
Right.
There aren't many standalone old-school restaurants like Tillman's.
Family-owned and stuff, you know. Right.
So this place was like that. And their prime rib, I'm going to say a third of the people that went in there ordered prime rib. And if you go to the Grilling Guys,
it wasn't just a Friday night thing.
Oh,
it was every night.
And you better wear a collar, and you should probably have a tie and a jacket. But you're going to pay a long dollar, but you are going to impress whoever was with you, because you're going to have the meal of a lifetime. If you got prime rib, and my wife always liked to get the end cut.
Oh, you know, man, chicks, way too well, done for
no,
you
well,
and me.
Well, here you go again, being open-minded, right? Just like the QDM and all that. I get it. First of all, when you get the end cut, it's big. So you're taking some home, and there's all that crust on the outside.
Oh, sure.
There's some beautiful bark. And with their recipe, if you go to thegrillinguys.com, punch in prime rib, and you'll find Maureen's Christmas Prime Rib, I think is the title.
Right.
But it's basically Duba's, and it says that in the explanation. If you're going to do it on your smoker, which is how I do it, last year I fed 275 men at Impact Church using that recipe on my smoker. This year I'll be doing the same thing, same recipe, probably be ready to feed 300. I don't care if you're feeding three. This recipe is beautiful because you put it on a beautiful rib roast and bake it to perfection, roast it, smoke it, however you do it, and my mouth's watering. I can't even hardly articulate it properly, but one thing I do differently now is I get it from Sobeys, of course, and I have Sobeys butchers carve the ribs out
the
of
bones.
It, and I take it. I don't truss them together.
Okay.
I roast those separately.
Okay.
And if I put that same rub on those ribs, now as I park that roast, I've got those ribs to take off. I'll put those on a baker's rack on the counter and let them aromatically just kill everyone in the room while I take and wrap that roast and cover it and park it for a half hour, either in a cooler or not, and depending on how long I have to wait.
So why are you parking it? What's the significance of that?
Well, resting meat is,
right?
I think most people probably know by now how to rest meat and why you should, but for those of you who aren't sure if you should do it, it's pretty much a good idea, because you want to let the juices of the muscle recirculate. They got hot and they traveled, and when they were traveling, they were cooking various pieces of the meat. Well, as it starts to cool, they need to return to their seat before recess.
Right. Got it.
Teacher said.
Right.
But here's the beauty. When you do them separately, you have some really nice ribs. Now, the butchers carved most of the good stuff off, but trust me, there's plenty of good stuff still there.
Right.
And here's what I really like about not having the bone there. That roast cooks evenly. I don't have a more rare spot than others. I can dial in my rare spot to the center of that roast
right.
instead of having sections that are supposed to be medium, medium well,
right.
having a rare spot. Because, again, dealing with certain people who don't want to see red,
right.
you're trying to please people. You're not right. trying to make them eat it your way.
Right.
You're trying to please people.
You're going
to
get that golf ball-sized core going down the center, but from the ends, you're still just like the piece that Maureen likes, right? That end, you're going to have two end pieces
well done.
That are going to be a little more medium well
yep.
when you're trying to get that center into that medium rare zone, and that's at what temperature?
Probably 130 in the center on,
right.
on a roast because it's going to rise. It's
right.
a big muscle.
And as you park it, it continues to cook, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little yep. bit.
They yep. say 5 degrees. I don't necessarily think it always does that depending on the size of it, but it's a safe
right.
area. So, like, case in point, I made her filet mignon a couple nights ago because I got this half a cow and I'm trying to use up all the nice pieces, and we're working hard on the place, and I thought, man, I can...
It's on your diet.
I can have a steak.
Right.
Yeah. I can have a lean and green meal, and the rest is all sawdust. And so I grilled her. Now, mine came out rare because it was in the dark. I'm in a hurry. I'm, cooking at 8 o'clock at night, kind of while doing something else, who knows, plumbing or whatever. Not my best grill job.
Not
but
gas?
Still
you, weren't, you weren't installing gas lines,
it
were
was
you?
Actually working then yet. I hadn't killed the gas line. But so mine came out rarer than I wanted it to, and there's a cure for that. But hers came out like perfect medium, medium well. But when you cut a tenderloin or any good piece of red meat, steak, it's kind of red inside, even though it's black on the outside.
Right.
And in some people's minds, like my bride's, that translates to, ooh, it's right. bloody. No, right. it's just pink. It's not bloody. There's
right.
no blood on your plate. It should be pink on the inside.
Right.
If it's brown, you're well done, and there's no chance of resuscitating.
You're eating hockey pucks at that point. Yeah.
yeah.
Yep. So what about a ham, Bob? I know you used to work in a factory that produced hams.
I did.
But with regard to that, most hams that people buy are already cooked. They're
yeah.
already cured.
Yes.
They're getting a piece of that. What
yep.
do we do with that on a smoker or a grill
yeah.
to bring it, or a spiral cut or
right.
whatever? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's lots of methods. Like if you used to get the Heavenly or Honey Baked or any of that stuff, they would tell you just to put it on the counter like a real man.
Right. And it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
This rule was written for you. If you take beer to a party, the tuck rule is in play when leaving. You may take one beer max, but only if the beer will fit in your pocket.
When you're leaving the party?
Yes.
I'm not so sure that you want to do that. That's one for the ditch. That's a little bit, that's maybe not right where
I
we want to go.
I see Pabst Blue Ribbon has a Pabst jacket. Have you seen that?
Right, yeah.
It holds a 12-pack.
Yeah. No, that's not me. But
you're more of a case man.
I had a brother-in-law. I'm going to turn that around and what you should bring to the party because I had a brother-in-law that used to come over, and he hardly would even say hello, and he'd blow down to my bar and look and see what beer I had for him to drink for the next 5 hours while he's at my holiday party, and that SOB never brought a drop with him years, year after year after year.
That's why you got rid of him.
Right. So I used to jack with him a little bit and take my good stuff and put it in the other fridge that I had that wasn't out in the bar area.
You had a backup
fridge, right?
Sure.
Right. So you put the good stuff back there and just leave the crap that I didn't want to drink, right, out there for him,
and he'd
open
it.
And I'm like, hey, here you go. Have one of these. And I'm laughing to myself, and he's like, oh, that's pretty dang good, And,
yeah, see, what a waste of good beer that would have been.
Right, exactly. Because he didn't really care.
Because he's down the road now.
Right, yeah. He had two criteria. It had to be cold and within reach.
Well, talking about the ham, we've all been there when somebody wants to, like mom used to do, bake the snot out of a ham for 4 hours before you serve it.
Yeah.
So by the time she sliced it, put it on the table, and it sat there for a half hour, you could put new soles on your shoes.
Right.
So, no, we're not going to do that. So my brother's having Christmas for my side of the family this year, and he says he's doing ham.
Oh.
So I had to cue him, and I had to, like, quiz him on how you're going to do it. And you know what? He had it dialed right in. He knew exactly. Cool. I'm just going to warm it up a little bit.
Right.
Great. Then I'll eat some.
All right. Coming up next, it's still football season. A great pizza on the grill is something you might want to try. Stick with us. We'll be back.